All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Come gather around me, space travelers, surround me, hark now to the ballad of Rockin' Robin Hood. I may well confound you, astound you, spellbound you with heroes and villains, the bad and the good. Watch now as our rockets race here from afar, for now with our Robin we live on a star.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast. Joe, can you believe it? Yes. Listen. We took a week off. We're on fire, okay? Everything is on fire. Everything's about to be destroyed. People have lost homes and livelihoods, and this country's about to go straight into the toilet. So what better time to talk about Rocket Robin Hood on Knowing Is Half the Podcast? Because this
is simpler times, and I
am Ray Stakanis.
Yes, you are.
This is Robert Clark Chan, who just mentioned to me what a contrarian he is. And
when's this episode going to drop?
This week.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Recording this on a Tuesday night to hopefully drop on Thursday or Friday.
Fingers crossed.
Gosh willing. Yeah. And we're joined by a special guest. TV's Gina Ippolito could not be here. She has too many things to do, and that's okay. All of us need a little time for ourselves right now, but I don't know how to do that. I only know how to just record more shows. Chan, can you relate?
No, not at all.
You do like 22 podcasts a week. What are you talking about? Well, we are joined by a very special guest. You may know him as the host of Wiz World Live Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific. You can go to watch.wizworldlive.com and check it out for yourself. Hey, check it out tonight. Since, let's keep it real, this probably came out on a Friday.
We're going to get this one out on time. Promise.
Do you think so?
Fingers crossed.
Well, Frankie G is here today. Hello. Frankie, say hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me back. I think the last time I was here, we talked about Camp Candy.
We did talk about Camp Candy. What a show. What a delight. And this show is a lot different than Camp Candy, though.
It is, but this was set up as, oh boy, I found this incredible garbage. But I kept polishing this piece of garbage.
Wow.
And there's a little crystal inside, I think. Not in the first episode, though. This thing was garbage. Like garbage.
But now, here's the deal. So you're the one who brought Rocket Robin Hood into our lives.
Who? What? Who? Who? Frankie?
No, me. No.
Oh, this was your idea.
I was looking around, and I had fallen down like a Hanna-Barbera rabbit hole, and somehow I got linked to this, and I was like, ooh, this looks like trash. But it's hard because it's, what, 1968? So it's a different time.
Yeah.
The show was intended to be what it is. And like, yeah, if you tried to make this in 2024, you'd be like, what in blue perfect hell is going on here? But back then, like, it was cool. That's what a kid wanted to watch, presumably.
Yes, 100%. Look, this just came out officially. The release day, according to Wikipedia, is January 2nd of 1967. So this is late. And if you know anything about like Mystery Science Theater 3000, you understand already where America's head was at in the 1960s when it came to science fiction. Like, you know, this is the age of Barbarella in Space and Buck Rogers and the original Planet of the Apes. And there was a lot of schlock. A lot of very schlock, Lost in Space, one of my favorite schlock TV shows of all time. This is all 1960s, and yeah,
and we, but also it is Canadian.
It's also Canadian, though. Yes, Canadian. But of the same mentality. Fascinating. Though, keep it real. Yeah, this was a CBC exclusive.
And it ran, and I watched the first episode. I was like, oh boy, finally a bad cartoon, because Camp Candy had a lot of like heart and stuff going for it, and I was like, all right, this time it's just going to be crap. And then I watched it, and the first episode is bizarre in that it has like four different opening credits happening throughout
yes,
the
it does.
Show.
Yeah.
Then I went to Wikipedia and I saw 3 seasons, 52 episodes.
Yeah. Ooh.
And that's when I was very fascinated. But let's.
You didn't watch more of this, did you?
Yes.
Oh, no. He watched a lot more of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so because I found the pilot, which is even worse. But then there's this incredible fact on there, and I don't know if I should hold it off till later or say it now, but
Why don't you save it till it will apply to the moment, and then drop it on us like an anvil. Sure.
Okay, yeah, I will. All right.
Because I'm looking at this, most of these, if we're looking at IMDb ratings, and take it for what it's worth. 5.8, 5.9 on the first two episodes. And then it just slowly starts creeping up till you start getting in the mid sixes to the even low sevens. And then all of a sudden there's an episode here that I think we need to go back and revisit called The Awful Truce, season 1, episode 19. That's a 2.5. All of us, I don't know what exactly happened, but whatever we watched, that episode is less than half as good as the one we saw. Whoa. And let me tell you right now, the one we saw, not great.
No, very strange. I was really confused by how many times the show opened itself.
It's great because, well, here's the deal. I think they took, if you're a fan of a show called Bluey, an S-tier cartoon.
Put it in the same sentence.
I'm doing it, Chan, because Bluey is 8-minute episodes. So you get an intro and then an 8-minute episode. And if you look at how this thing was laid out, Rocket Robin Hood is basically an intro, then 7 minutes of serialized episode, and then it ends. And then you get another intro and then another 7 minutes of serialized Rocket Robin Hood. So the first episode is broken essentially into 3 acts. And each act is its own Bluey, if you will.
It's very funny to start referring to act breaks as Blueys.
it's a three Bluey set. Here's the deal. When we're driving in the car, we refer to a Bluey as a measurement of time. Like if we're about 15 minutes from home, our kids, she'll say, you know, how far are we from home? We'll say we're 2 Blueys from home. And that worked when she had an iPad and could watch 2 episodes of Bluey and it would roughly time up. But now we just do it as a thing.
Fascinating.
Don't hate that.
We're 2 Blueys away. Guys, we're about 100 Blueys away from ending this episode. I'm going to tell you that right now.
The number of times I checked the clock to see how much longer it had was just... this thing is interminable. But I just pulled up the Wikipedia, though, and found that it was written by Ralph Bakshi.
Okay, see, that. Well, that's the fact that was holding back on.
Oh, okay.
Bakshi, I guess, like was given like power over it later in the show. And it becomes cool. Like the like shocking. Later seasons are like more like a Johnny Quest. Well, without all the racism, but like they're more like a like Johnny Quest adventure show. All of the character designs change. It's a lot less silly. It's like straightforward. The episode that I watched was incredible. They went to a planet that was a living brain.
Whoa.
I mean, that sounds kind of cool.
And they explore like what that is. The scientists who help make it in kind of a Watchmen plot where this guy like kidnapped scientists to help him make this giant monster brain to take over the world. And then he was going to kill them. But they went and hid in the unconscious forest where like the evil scientist scanners could not find them. And check out the villain here. I'm going to put it in the Facebook message thread.
Excellent. As we all know, podcasts are traditionally known as a very visual medium.
Well, just that's why we're
just so you guys can see it. Each other. Like, look at that character design on
it's
the
very Lon Chaney Jr. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, and he's with like a like mutant brain and like a weird mutant face.
Honestly, pretty cool.
Okay.
There's a lot of cool stuff later, but it's impossible to predict that from this first episode.
No. And this feels like something that, you know, like a throwback, even in the 60s, I feel
like. It's like a Clutch Cargo, like hyper budget animation.
Yeah. And the conceit of it is just such bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Rocket Robin Hood, all of these, not just Robin Hood, every single one of these people are direct descendants of the people from the original Robin Hood story.
Oh yeah, I guess we should probably explain the premise of the show, right?
I got you here.
Benny Jesserit got here. Breeding plan. Go on.
So yes, this takes place in the 30th century, and all of these people are descendants of. Yes, you heard that correctly. Direct descendants with the same names and roles and everything as the original Robin Hood from the stories from the, 16th, 17th century? I don't know. So we're talking in space.
Older than that, even.
It's Robin Hood in space. Everyone has rockets because it's Rocket Robin Hood. And this is like, on the Flintstones, it's the laziest thing. And everybody's name is just something stone or, it's a rock bird or, hey, hand me that rock phone, whatever. It's just, that's all they're doing here. It's just like, hey, look, it's Rocket Robin Hood and like Space Sheriff, And it's just, it is lazy.
They live on New Sherwood Forest asteroid, which doesn't make any sense.
They live on, yes, I have that written here, but my first note about this cartoon after watching it for about 2 minutes was, this feels fake, like it's a pretend cartoon from a sitcom that somebody's watching that they only made like a minute of, and then cut that minute into pieces that they would intersperse through the episode of like Modern Family or whatever. That's what this feels like to me, but it's actually real. And my second note, I get it. He's Robin Hood, .. with a rocket. Right. How clever. Although the intro theme song, which we cut back to, I want to hear a little bit of it, obviously, but it feels like a Russian Federation banger to me.
It is. Jesus. It starts out like this.
Gather around me, space travelers, surround me. Hark now to the ballad of Rockin' Robin Hood. I may well confound you.
It goes like that for a while.
It's so long. It's so long.
But then the men's chorus kicks in.
Then, and all of a sudden, yes, it does feel like it turns into some sort of fascist march.
Two, one, blast off! Band of brothers marching together, tents held high in all kinds of weather.
I'm ready to go take over a factory. That's what I'm ready to do when you start playing that.
No. There's a way to do a proper men's chorus, and it is the theme song to Star Blazers. You put this up against that, and this is revealed.
Okay, hold on.
It is.
Hold on. You're 100% correct. But that means that both are good.
No, what? How does that fly?
What?
They're basically the same thing. You can't argue that this is better than the Star Blazers theme song. You can't. Chan, get the Star Blazers theme song queued up, because now we have to listen to it. So Jeez. People at home, because we've never. Oh no, we have done one episode of Star Blazers on this show before,
and we also did it during the banger song showdown.
Which
we keep threatening to do another season of, and haven't in.
We should now. I would argue now. About two minutes of intro goes by with multiple different genres of music.
Yes.
We get to see all the characters. They're just doing random things, and I am completely unclear at this point what the deal is with this show. Who are these people? Where are these people? What is their relationship to each other? What are they doing?
All the things that you could be confused about. Who these people are?
It's Robin Hood, Will Scarlet, Friar Tuck. It's all them.
Yeah. A, it's the same characters. They don't even change the goddamn names. B, we have these little snippets of little bios for all of the characters.
Yeah, it's a little bit laborious in how much it explains.
Oh, no,
oh, I don't think it explains a heck of a lot, I'll be honest. Because it's like a clip of just like Robin Hood, and then he's like helping a peasant stand up and then flying away. And it's like, okay.
Well, that's what Robin Hood, that's what he is Robin Hood. He helps the peasants and then he rockets away. Rocket, yep. Robin Hood.
Rock. You know what? Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm just overthinking it.
I think you are overthinking it.
It's almost impossible to overthink this thing, or I guess it is only possible to overthink this thing because
I was going to say, Chan, we don't have a show if we're not doing that.
But
now,
there's
the music. No, here's the deal. So there's a 2 minute like musical introduction to intro the show, right? And then they essentially go to commercial break, and then they come back, and there's another musical intro, I love it.
Yeah, no. That's when I started to get confused. I was like, "Am I like, did I click the wrong link, or like, did I hit my head? Like, why is there a second?"
Wikipedia says that that's what this is. It's like broken up into chunks that have cliffhangers, and it feels like it is an 8 minute episode that would have been scattered across, you know, God knows what, like before every movie or every newsreel in a 1930s cinema. But no, it's apparently that's how
it just aired like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, for an audience used to radio, like if you listen to old like radio shows, like in full, they reset a lot because they have no idea when anyone's tuning in.
Oh yeah.
And, like if you're like not sure when the like little kids are going to be tuning in, it's not actually crazy to have those like segment headers. It just feels bizarre in retrospect.
Look, this is where we are with Netflix right now. Did you see that thing where the notes saying the Netflix executives wanted the people who make the shows to have everybody repeating what's going on, where they are, and what their relationship is over and over and over again?
Good
because
Lord.
These are expected to be on in the background and people aren't supposed to be paying attention to them. Like it's a cricket match or something.
Oh,
that makes me sad. And also, I only watch Netflix while I'm playing games on my phone. So
yeah,
they're not wrong.
Yeah. So that's this. So here's the deal. We've just come full circle to old timey radio theory.
Yeah.
In the Netflix era. Good job, everybody.
And by the way, you are watching Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Yeah. My name is Ray. That's Robert Clark Chan. This is, we don't know when you came into this episode. This could just be playing in your dentist's office in the year 30,000.
If you are playing this on loop, thank you. We could use the hits.
Yeah, we'd really need them. Yeah,
it
would probably be
calling it these days hits.
What's what we call it, and we're hip.
Okay, cool.
What's happening? The name of the first episode is Prince of Plotters.
Yeah,
and this is where it takes us to the definition of the Sherwood asteroid. Now, look, I'm no science jerk, but I know a thing about asteroids. And that the biggest thing I know about asteroids is there's no goddamn forests on them.
Typically, not a big forest on there.
Look, I'm not going to pretend to be a smart science guy, but there's one thing I did learn. But here we are. The 30th century descendants of the original Robin Hood crew are living on the Sherwood asteroid in the new Sherwood Forest on the asteroid.
Right.
Yes, that's where we're at. That's what we're doing.
They're playing they're enjoying their favorite sport, which is hitting each other with fucking sticks.
That is
electro quarterstaffs.
Are those electro quarterstaffs? I know that Little John has an electro quarterstaff. I thought they said that Robin Hood had like a different kind of quarterstaff.
Guys, you heard that right. They took quarterstaff and they put electro in front of it. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's so even clunky. Lots of the stuff is so clunky. Like, the Sheriff of Nottingham is now the Sheriff of N-O-T-T.
Not.
Oh, God.
The National National, which is crazy to put in front. One. Outer Space Terrestrial Territories.
Hold on. Outer Space and Terrestrial are two directly oppositional terms.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's right. This is
not,
and like national to where? What is the nation? Is it like a self-referential nation?
Is it the nation from 1990s WWE? The nation of domination.
Domination. Okay.
Now that would be sick, actually.
I'm waiting for Farouk to show up at any point.
Waiting for any black person to show up. Oh, surprise, there won't ever be.
There's none.
The problem is, if you see a black person in a show like this, it will become racist immediately.
It's fair. I'm sure one of these 52 episodes has like a monkey race that are just like, hey, I'm probably. Just a jive talking monkey. What's up, brother?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I am currently, I've actually gotten serious in the year 2025 about my Lupin the Third 155 episode season 2 watch.
Lord.
And I'm now about 20 some odd into it. And it's a show I absolutely love. I love the characters. I love the gimmicks. I love the silliness. It's also hideously misogynist and racist in a way that only 1970s Japan could muster.
Yeah.
When we go to another country that isn't Japan or a white country, I know I'm in for some shit.
I'm just quickly looking at some stills on IMDb. First one that jumps out, there is Warlord of Saturn. This warlord is named Ming, and he looks like Ming the Merciless. And I'm sure he sounds like it. There's also, in season 2, there's the incredible gem of Cosmo Khan.
Not to be confused with Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld.
Well, but maybe they have some stuff in common. I don't know.
Yeah, somehow the one on this is less of a monster.
Yeah. So it appears to be mostly horrible Orientalism, I think, is the dominant racist mode of this show.
I mean, that tracks. That tracks.
Just like Johnny Quest.
Yeah, I was going to say Johnny Quest set the table. Okay, so here we have the. Oh, I also wrote here. Okay, so they're dueling with quarterstaffs. Yes. And Robin is just saying, hey, John, you're doing so well. Maid Marian wants to F you, basically. And John's like, what? And he's basically, if you remember Andre the Giant from the Hulk Hogan cartoon, Rockin' Wrestling, that is who Little John is in this. Direct descendant, near as I can tell.
Boo.
And then Robin uses deceit, and he clonks him. And then John's like, you weren't paying attention a moment later.
He doesn't just clonk him. He decks him with this metal staff with a huge... I mean, it looks like a mace or some sort of pole.
It does look like a mace, yeah.
And he smashes him in the forehead. If the fool doesn't go down with a concussion, that's impressive. It doesn't matter anyway, because it's his friend who's doing it. I'm not a fan.
Well, John gets the heat back because he picks him up and throws him in the lake.
Strange. You aren't on your toes, Robin.
Yeah, Andre the Giant meets John Wayne.
It's a John Wayne impression. Yeah, I thought that too, and I thought that was a weird choice.
And he's like inhumanly large.
No.
Compared to everyone else, but in that fight sequence, there's a lot of parts where it's mostly just a still frame with just a little bit of animation. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Frankie. Because I wrote here, this is my literal next note. This is barely animated.
Yeah.
The 1960s were wild for animation. They essentially have a handful of action shots that they are going to repeat over and over and over again. Like if you thought He-Man recycled animation, boy, have I have a show to show you how original He-Man's animation
have
was.
Have you read the Wikipedia article?
Of course not.
Entire section.
Yeah, I think
I know. Connection to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man episodes, Phantom from the Depth of Time, and Revolt of the Fifth Dimension. Were largely recycled animation from two episodes of Rocket Robin Hood, with Spider-Man substituted for Rocket Robin Hood on the animation cells.
Yeah,
they were so goddamn cheap that they recycled this show
efficient
across into another show.
Be honest, I kind of respect them more now.
I mean, it is dedication they're committed to the bit. Is what they're
they
doing.
Are. And yes, and yeah, a lot of this feels very Clutch Cargo-y because the whole thing is not moving except for the mouth.
Yeah. And also on Spider-Man, Bak actually worked on that show too. He was the EP in the later seasons of that one. Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to the Bakshi-verse. Surprise ending of season 8 of Knowing of Half the Sat the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to go into the extended BCU. Bocce cartoon universe.
I hope that there's some kind of like proto Fritz the Cat in like one of these episodes.
Oh my god. Yeah, when are we doing Fritz on Knowing Is Half the Podcast? I don't know if we could get Gina on board for that.
Oof. Again, it's simply a matter of I will not watch anything longer than 22 minutes.
That's a good point. We'll have to break it up.
Fair. I saw it when I was in college and I was like, this blew everyone away.
I mean, it's the kind of like heavy metal. It's a thing that at some point between the ages of like 12 and 22, you should watch it and go, oh man, look at that boobs on cartoon and then move on with your life.
No, I mean, look, I saw this around the same age I think you did. And it was just like, I am a little underwhelmed by this, but the animation has a lot of character and soul to it.
Absolutely.
And the dialogue is wildly conversational. I kept thinking when I was watching Fritz the Cat that, like, did they just set up a microphone and where people were just living? Because this doesn't feel written, right?
Yeah. There is something to that. Although, counterpoint, that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special we watched where they did largely the same thing.
Oh boy.
I don't know if you've seen that, Frankie.
I am not, but now I'm picturing a TMNT Christmas special that's kind of like Fritz the Cat, and I'm trying to picture what on earth they do.
Oh boy. Well, I don't want to see what April O'Neil gets up to in that episode. I'm going to tell you that right now.
We live in a wonderful world where you can actually see what that would look like.
Oh, Jesus, Chad.
Foreign versions.
How are we eight seasons of this show and we can never get away from the Ninja Turtle porn that you made us watch?
To be fair, I believe it was the Pikachu one that I made everybody watch.
I think it was both now that you mention it. I do remember the Pikachu one was worse. I'll at least get to say that.
I must have seen this Turtle Christmas thing as a kid. I was obsessed with the Ninja Turtles, but I have no memory of it at all.
Well, I sadly saw that Ninja Turtle porn as an adult. The Sheriff of Knot.
Okay, yes, the Sheriff of Knot.
His good friend Titanur, who's just a big man, and his name is Titanur.
And the other guy's named Little John. What do you want?
Well,
at least it's a new name. It's a name that did not exist previous to this cartoon.
And I was, I was very confused by the, because at first I was like, oh, okay, so the sheriff is the bad guy, but then the sheriff is like a super lackey to Prince John.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we got, there's a lot of villains happening in this first episode.
Yeah, it turns out the power dynamic is Titanur is actually over the Sheriff of Knot, but is his bodyguard.
Yeah, that was very confusing.
It was confusing. Well, the taxes are too high. Stop me if you heard this before. And the mayor steps forward to say, I am the mayor of this town. You are literally just shaking us down for money like every day so that he could hoard it like Smaug the Dragon.
Also, can we talk about how they have to put their coins into a coin slot as opposed to like fucking Venmo?
Yeah. It's
near 3,000, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's 3,000. You know what? Libertarians out there are thrilled that the year 30,000 exists and we have not gotten away from hard cash.
Well, maybe they're actually advanced cyber coins that have computer chips inside.
Oh, shit. It's Bitcoin.
Oh, my God. Like it's literal we've Bitcoin. Gone
around the horn now Bitcoin is an actual physical thing.
Yeah.
Only a matter of time, I tell you. Well, so the mayor says, we are all destitute and can't live. And Titanor says, really? Well, which one of these houses is yours? And this idiot says this one that he actually lives in.
I mean, he's the mayor. He's got to be the one that stands up.
Here's the deal. Those space houses look very nice. I think the mayor's running his own squeeze play is what I'm trying to say here. If these people are wearing rags, they don't have single coins to give up for taxes. They say they're starving and you look over and they live in that future city that people use for the memes. Like, what are we talking about? How? How are we this house poor?
It's pretty confusing. Although that scene does have like the one gag that I really thought was funny, where he's like, "If you hurt me, I'm gonna call Prince John," and then he pulls out his like future phone. And he gets an right. operator. He's like, operator, give me Princeton. What? Like, it's funny that he has to like call an operator to get him.
Was that I couldn't tell if that was a joke or if we were still using operators in that way in 1966. And like that was just their like, well, we can't make it too complicated for the kiddies and just have them call somebody directly. We're in the year 3000, not the year 8 billion, for God's sake.
They did have operators. That is true. Because my dad was a phone operator in the 70s.
Really?
Yes. And it was kind of awkward because it was usually like a woman's job.
Wow. So
they were kind of resentful that my dad got the job. He was like, listen, I'm poor, as are we all. I simply need to work nights. Please let me just connect people on the phone.
Oh, you mean... You mean like the other operators were resentful?
Yes, yes.
I thought like dudes were like calling to like listen to a lady's voice. I'm like, what is he doing? How am I supposed to jerk off now? Son of a
I mean, that probably happened. I used to work at a lingerie company and some sort of generational echo. I got a job at a lingerie company working customer support. Like phone support, and I was like, should I really be on the phone? They're like, it's fine. I'm like, if you say so, I guess. But every once in a while, someone would call me like, can I get a woman? I'd be like, totally get it. That's no problem. And I would go fetch someone else to talk to them. But
you see that, Robert Clark Chan? Men can do those jobs too.
Look, I've been a secretary in companies full of female secretaries and being the only male secretary. And, I think I got fired from all those jobs, but still, you know, I'm a trendsetter. I'm a trailblazer.
Mom, you didn't show enough leg.
I did. What do you think, man? I think I'm not going to wear jorts.
No, you got that. You got that.
Knows how to get ahead. Come on.
Yeah. No, you would be showing that. I would be showing that off, please. Right. I'd be wearing jorts every day. Oh my God, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, after the mayor complains,
yes,
Heitnor blows up his house. And I'm like, that is quite the escalation.
Yeah.
I mean, shocked in the moment that these two were not just immediately killed by the entire town.
I was not shocked because there was nothing in this that shocked me because they telegraph everything so hard. Like, here's the sequence.
As the mayor, I must protest this undue harshness.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. What does the tone of his voice say he's about to fucking do?
And where do you live?
Why would he answer that?
Why?
In yonder cottage.
In yonder cottage.
He says cottage. It is like the Space Needle.
Okay, I'm looking at it, and it's not the Space Needle. It's like a Jetsons version of a tiki hut. If you were to go to a tiki bar and
I would like to.
There you go. Just look at the art on the walls, the cartoon art on the walls. Looks like that.
When are we doing Knowing Is Half the Podcast live at a tiki bar?
I don't think any of our lovers could take that.
I would really like a Mai Tai right now.
I'm sure you would.
That cruise ship gave me a lot of Mai Tais, Chan.
Like, you want an
uncomfortable amount of Mai Tais.
Where did you cruise?
Well, the funny you should ask, I took a wonderful Royal Caribbean cruise vacation for the first time ever on a cruise ship down to wonderful Catalina Island and Ensenada, Mexico.
Oh, nice.
We're not going to get paid for that, Ray.
No, I want them to give me another free cruise. It was delightful. Everybody was very nice.
This was a free cruise?
It's free?
No, this is not. This is a Costco cruise, so it might as well be free with its affordability.
Costco's not going to pay us either.
I just want a free membership, Chad. Like, I'm trying to get what I can here.
All of the sponsorships are going to be pivoting right for the next 8 years. So just good luck getting anything.
Hey, Walmart. You're not paying anybody else. Why not pay us? Walmart, the place you go when your soul is dead. But I did drink an uncomfortable number of Mai Tais and Bahama Mamas and any other rum fruit juice concoction. I tried like eight different
Barkeep, give me your silliest.
Well, they were rotating them. So it'd be like a blue Hawaii. I had some of those. Mai Tai, obviously the Mai Tai. The Mai Tai was my go-to. Wow, I had a great time is what I'm trying to say on this trip. I really don't remember a lot of it. Yeah, not to mention it's a little hazy. I lost at poker. Which made me really mad. Because the guy I lost to was really bad. Oh, there was a whole casino. Yeah. We played craps and roulette, and you could play slots.
No, I had there was a person who I used to work with who would get free cruises because she gambled so much on those things.
How nice is that?
So like they get you drunk as fuck and then just have take you money.
Yeah, it was nice. Anyway, we bring out the Neuron Puppet Rod, another gun-like device that he zaps the mayor with when he's going to complain. And he says, now dance, Mr. Mayor. And then he does a dance. And he says, now I want you to cry like a baby. Because he's affecting him with the neuron puppet rod. You get it. And then he starts weeping openly like a baby. And I just wrote in my notes here, this is hilarious.
That was like a funny like sound gag thing. And you say you get it, but the cartoon stops for like 40 seconds to thoroughly explain the neuron puppet rod.
No, this is not a show that backs away from its exposition.
No, they really love to make every technobabble count.
Yeah, this thing is like 80% padding.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. What a show. The sheriff gets back. They get back. Okay. They take the money. They're back with the mayor, putting him in space jail or whatever. And the Prince John is just like, how did it go? And the sheriff of Knott is literally, he's stepping up for a second and he says, they didn't have a lot for us. Can I be real with you, Prince John? If you didn't tax him so much, they'd have a chance to actually like make more money. And we could get more in the long run if you eased up the taxes. This is getting really hard. They are destitute. At which point, with the most mild of pushback from the sheriff, Prince John's like, that sounds a lot like treason to me.
And then all of a sudden, fucking Titanor is now the number two. Is like, hey, you want me to fuck him up? I'll fuck him up.
Yeah, he puts the puppet rod to his head.
Yeah,
ooh, there is a lot of threatening with firearms in this show.
Yeah, what do you think the 1960s were, Robert Clark Chan?
Well, like, what was going on in Canada then? You know, that's what I wish I knew that context better.
They just must be like looking at America and like this is what it's like down there, right?
Listen, this is literally the same time period as the civil rights movement and the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
It's post JFK, huh? Yeah.
I mean, and it's close to it. So it's like, yes, violence was a strong part of our culture. Actually, it never left. Surprise. We thought it did.
Yeah. In episode 48, Prince John goes out in a convertible space sedan.
Yep.
And gets tracked. Shot with a electro sniper rifle
from the Computo Book Depository.
Oh, that's right. See, here's the deal. I don't know if you guys are lying or not. That's the best part of this. You could have just read me a synopsis of the actual show we're watching. I don't know. I'm not even gonna guess. No, thank you. So the sheriff, to save his own skin, I have a suggestion. You don't want to zap me with that. I got this great suggestion. What if we challenge Rocket Robin Hood to fight Titanor 1v1, 1v1 in the Baron Pit, bro? And if Robin wins, we're going to lower taxes on the people. What do you think? And Prince John has a really good idea. We're going to do that. So they announce it. And Robin Hood's like, well, we got to do it. And then everybody's like, you know, this is a trap, you dumb mother effer.
Hold on. We got to talk about, because nobody who's listening to this should ever, ever go seek this cartoon out and watch it.
You should. I think you should. You should put it on in the background while you're watching Netflix and playing phone games.
Jump to season 3 if you do.
The challenge. Like, if you think those fucking quarterstaves were a dumbass sport,
A challenge, Rocket Robin. Two solar units from now, Titana will weep.
Two solar units from now.
Wait for you before the Eltharc asteroid swarm.
The Eltharc asteroid swarm. BT Dubs, the asteroid swarm is a bunch of fucking cartoon planets all smashed together.
Yeah. So I zoned out for a second to write some notes down because obviously I did because we got part two of our theme song.
Yeah. Right. Well,
hold on.
Yes.
Defeat him man to man in a space skis battle.
A what?
A space ski. I missed all this exposition. I was going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the space skis battle.
Oh, sure. I did. Later. No, I actually, there was a point where I'm like, I don't know exactly how we got here, and I do not care enough to go back and figure it out.
Yeah,
tell me I'm wrong, Chan.
No need. Hold on.
It is a baffling way to fight.
And then, of course, this is the... maybe the single greatest sentence I've ever heard on a cartoon ever.
Can Robin survive Prince John's cunning space trap?
Cunning space trap.
Some great line reads in this. I have a few more I have listed out for us later. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, okay. So that was all set up. I didn't catch any of that. I just knew they were going to fight. And then yeah. I literally like turned and checked threads or something. Like I was just out for a second. I come back. The theme song is going on for part two. And they emphasize about 17 times that Robin Hood is purely in search of adventure. And I was like, well, yeah. F the poor people, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
It's gonna be robbing from the rich and giving to the poor till it's not thrilling anymore.
And like, I thought, like that this was like a bad rip where they like mashed up a bunch of, I was like, oh, it's a different episode. And then I started, I was like, oh no, wait, it's the other episode. It was pretty baffling until of course the space skis come out and I'm like, all right, I know exactly what's going on. This is a space skis battle.
Space skis. Yeah, this is so baffling. I was completely
I had no idea.
What's going on?
Fun-loving astral adventurer in the astonishing years to come.
The idea that there are adventurers, like the very idea of an adventure is weird.
Yes, it's
lost to a bygone era, but that one is fun-loving, that one seeks this out for sheerly for enjoyment,
just having a blast.
The interplanetary villains
quiver in their space boots when they hear the merry ring of his laughter.
Space boots first, yes. He's laughing as he's beating the shit out of these people. Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Who are, like, I mean, I'm sure not all of them are fucking brown shirt January 6th fascists. Some of them just need jobs. And obviously the jobs that you get in the village don't pay worth a damn. So you got to go to the prince to get work.
Right.
And he's just laughing.
There are also pirate ghosts.
I did see that there is a pirate ghost episode. Yeah. That was not lost on me.
There is a living Sphinx. Large golden Sphinx with wings.
Sphinx.
Yeah, but like under the control of a mad emperor.
We're bringing back that fucking space rod thing.
there's a Dracula. He's Dr. Mortula, but he's there. Oh, also, there's an episode where they go back in time to meet the original Robin Hood. Can you guess which episode of the series that is?
I guess the last one.
Episode two.
It is the second episode.
It's fucking episode two.
Oh my god.
They're so hurt for ideas by episode two. They go, we gotta go see regular Robin Hood. And it is the cast just doing like kind of like Game of Evil accents, but like it's very ridiculous.
How many episodes of this did you watch?
I watched that one. I watched the Living Brain one. And then I started one that was like, this is kind of cool. It's called the Planet of Dreams. they crash on this planet where these mushrooms emit a haze that makes you like stay in a dream state. And I was like, all right,
in the late 60s.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. I was like, back we going for clearly there? Playing around. Tragically, it is a clip show.
Oh no.
They dream of their past adventures. And I was like, oh, brutal. They were out of money.
Did you, because I'm looking at the list of episodes now. Did you watch Michael Shawn the Leprechaun?
No.
The Wizard O'Day and Oxite, who's got the Oxite? Those are the titles for the one episode.
Oh no, but now I do want to go check that out.
Mm.
Oh, it's from season one. All right, so that's gonna be really bad. But it is intriguing. Michael Shawn, the Leprechaun.
Michael Shawn, the Leprechaun.
Wasn't that the plot of the Kids Incorporated episode that we watched?
That was, in retrospect, pretty good compared to this thing. The episode before that is Don Coyote McPherson. And I don't know if that's like a racist Mexican thing.
Is it or, a Don Quixote thing?
Yeah, maybe Don Quixote.
But why is he McPherson?
That is the thing that's throwing me. I don't know what that means.
What I love about this is we are like 45 minutes into this episode, and we have only finished part one of three.
Nope.
We are looking at Mr. Bogus territory here, folks.
We are in the middle of number two.
Blaze through the last two-thirds of this thing because it's so
nothing. There's
terrible.
Nothing.
A lot to talk about
but
here.
Look, I'm going to stay focused on the show titles because the Marmaduke Caper suggests that there is an episode with a huge space Dane. Space Dane.
It's the Rocket Robin Hood Marmaduke crossover we've all been hoping for.
Is in there.
There's one called, and this is still season one, Don't Make a Sound. So like a Quiet Place. What the Quiet Place is based on.
Yeah, obviously.
The next chunk of that is The Beast Who Came to Dinner. So pretty sure it's a monkey trying to get Maid Marian. And he talks with a jive accent. Hey, bro, what's happening? You dig?
Did we just accidentally invent the Rocket Robin Hood podcast with the three of us? Is that the new third project I'm taking on?
Absolutely not. Every time we see something really, really awful, you're like, hey, why don't we turn this into a whole thing? No, I'm not going to do that.
This is
up to me.
Probably.
I would record these every single day.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. And then you'll start to wonder why everything else isn't so fast. Like, why does it take so long to do the dishes? A meal that's gone in three requires 45 minutes worth of dishes. Doesn't make sense. But it does make sense to get renter's insurance through GEICO. That way, that pile of dirty dishes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
Introducing a new good night friend, Glow Butterfly.
You're a child's good night friend.
And here's cute little Glow Bug.
Squeeze him tight when it's night. Watch his face light up bright.
You're a child's good night friend.
And pretty Glow Baby.
Glow Baby's tired, Mommy.
Good night, Glow Baby. Good night, Susie.
They're all machine washable. Batteries not included and each sold separately. Who has these good night friends? Hasbro has.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
I'm gonna leave it because the hits just keep on coming, and we could do the entire episode just looking at these titles and imagining what kind of horrors await us.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. So I'm still on the intro to part two, and what the H is this horse sky chariot that he's suddenly riding?
Made a note.
It looks like it was made for like a middle school production of Camelot. it looks cheap in the cartoon.
Yeah,
they could have drawn whatever they wanted to. It's like they took the head of a $5 chess set knight and then just put it on a sled that you would go tobogganing on, and this is what he's riding around on in space.
My note in my notes, it's all caps, and it just says, "What the fuck is that horse thing?" And I challenge you to take a look at the picture and have a different reaction. Like we should post it So that people
this will get posted.
You watch a He-Man, you're like, man, that's a pretty weird ass design for a ship or whatever. And you look at this, you go, oh, my mistake. Clearly it's genius compared to the shit they were doing back in 1966.
No notes. It is absolutely delightful.
Trash is what the word you were looking for. Trash.
It's so strange. And like just all the designs are a weird hodgepodge of like some of them look kind of like human. Some like a little John's like a weird, like giant, like ape caveman kind of guy.
He could have been a fucking Martian.
Yeah.
They could have just made him green. Yeah. And he'd be like, oh, this is the year 3000.
Sure.
We're on an asteroid that's also a forest. Great. But they don't. It's so fucking lazy.
It's very odd.
They make some odd choices in this. I will say that. And also the line appears, he robs from the cosmic rich to give to the astral poor. Like, we're not even trying.
I loved that, dude. They just had a list of space adjectives on the wall.
We used to, oh God, we started doing it because of an episode of news radio, the one where they're in space and they're just adding space to everything.
Yeah.
Like space prostitute was an early season one gag, but like they just add space to everything. And then, so we started doing it just as a gag. And it turns out that in 1966, they were just doing that on the regs.
They were ahead of their time over at Rocket Robin Hood.
And I'm still talking about the intro because I am mesmerized because this is when I started paying attention again.
Oh.
And he rides the horse chariot to a kaiju-sized minotaur who's like at a table eating dinner or something. And then he shoots an arrow into the kaiju minotaur and disintegrates him. And I'm like, what is happening in this? Why don't we watch that? Why are we doing what we're doing here? I'm more interested in what's happening in this goddamn intro.
Yeah, he's also just straight murdering people for no reason. Even giant people with one eye.
And his arrows have rockets.
He has. Hold on.
He's fast, with a joyful laugh, a ready jest, and a quiver full of futuristic arrows.
Futuristic arrows.
So he's Hawkeye. He's just Hawkeye. That's fine.
Yeah. A joyful laugh. Ready. ready jest. Ready. He's just fucking joking and japing as he shoots his futuristic fucking arrows. Stealing big
people.
Look, if you're in the year 3000 and you still have gold coins and giant brown sacks, you deserve to have them taken. That's fine.
It's fine. That's fine. But it's fine. Space socialism. It's fine. No, the thing is, if you get murdered by somebody who's doing an evil, maniacal laugh, you can at least go out being like, oh, I got beat by, you know, this bad guy got me and
right.
It's creepy and terrible. But if you get murdered straight up by a dude cackling with joy at the enjoyment he's having and the ripe jest he's killing people with, that is a true psychopath, right? That is I would be very uncomfortable to go out that way.
Yeah, it makes him seem crazy, especially because he's like, I don't have any morals. I just want adventure and laughter. But I don't remember laughter being such a core part of the Robin Hood character. I don't know why they're so insistent that he's so laughing all the time.
I'm laughing. He raps from the because
he's having a good time.
I feel like Friar Tuck.
He's kind of the like goofball, which he is in this. Like they add a nonsensical interstitial where he just eats a lot.
And he's,
I will get there. We'll get that part. Let's not jump too far ahead.
We could. No, we could just jump to the end.
No,
I would love that.
Because we cut into the episode, and I guess in my peasant brain, I thought we'd do some sort of setup. No, straight to the action. They are mid-fight. This is where I didn't hear that exposition before. I tuned out. So we cut back, and I'm expecting them to be on a planet with weapons fighting each other. And instead, they are out in deep space.
Wait, don't know. Did you... Did you not miss where everyone was telling him it's a trap, don't go do this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No, while I caught he's
putting
all that.
On his space skis.
Yeah, I really
in the forest putting on his space skis.
The crazy thing about this show, Chan, is that didn't ring any chimes for me. that didn't seem out of place. And they're already fighting. So I wrote here, how are they fighting in deep space with no masks on of any kind? We don't even care. Why are there moons just tiny? Are they giant now? I felt in the moment like I missed a lot of what happened, because these are very clearly planets and moons that they are fighting amongst. And they pull out the puppet rod, but Robin Hood's ready for the puppet rod. And if I could get a sound pool for around 11:25, there is just a line read that I felt very enjoyable.
The fool!
A real Skeletor-like moment.
There's a lot of fun
joy.
Yeah, there's a lot of like kind of fun stuff where like you can tell that they're like, all right, this is crap. I'm just gonna kind of go for it.
I mean, to be fair, the announcer sounds like he just got done doing an Abraxo soap ad. And then he's like, oh, I got to read this goddamn Robin Hood script. All right. And then he goes on to like Gerber baby food, the food your baby will enjoy. It's there is no joy or passion in anything that this announcer is doing. But it's made up for by the too much joy that Rocket Robin Hood is having as he murders people.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm starting to put something together, perhaps.
Oh,
I have a working theory.
Oh, okay.
That this is the era of Don Rickles, sort of insult comedy.
Okay.
And so, like, what is roasts? You know, like, what is the height of comedy in 1966 or so? Because this is fucking Rocket Robin Hood. This is one of his classic japes.
For a moment you had me puzzled. I thought you were wearing a cheap mask, but it really is your face. Astonishing.
Fuck. Oh my god.
I'll be honest, it's a pretty good rip.
It's not a joke. It's just like you are ugly.
it's just an attack.
Look, the humor of the 1960s might be a little on the nose for some. Calling someone ugly or fat or a woman, you know, that's just what they did back then, Chan.
Yeah, we'll get to the fat jokes.
Oh, yes, we will.
We won't get to the woman jokes because I don't think a woman has a line in this episode.
Marion giggles at one point.
She giggles. Yes. Yeah. And I'm hoping that later seasons, she's, I don't know, sexually assaulted by
Jesus Christ,
possibly one of the villains, possibly one of the heroes. It's the 60s. Who can tell?
Hard to know.
I mean, to be fair, if Robin Hood's doing it, he's laughing and giggling like a maniac the entire time.
Whoa, you ugly woman. Why would anybody want to have sex with you? Ho, ho, ho. Fucking Neil Gaiman up in this shit.
Oh my god, I read the Neil Gaiman report and I wished I hadn't.
Yeah.
Well, he said it's not true, so, you know.
Oh, well, you know what? Then I guess it's not true. All right,
sure,
you know what?
I'm sure it's all fine, actually.
You know what, Chan? Sometimes you gotta believe men. Hashtag.
Oh boy, I'm seeing a lot of women too that are doing that. I'm like, I don't know.
Chan, sometimes women lie. Somebody dropped that one on me in the middle of the Harvey Weinstein trial. Actually, I think it was the Johnny Depp. It's also terrible. So in the middle of this space fight, somehow Rocket Robin Hood has the stealth Batman disappearing ability where he not only disappears from space, he gets the Titanor cannot find him. Robin Hood sneaks up on him from behind, but on a lower level in space, and adjusts his rocket boots to full rocket
Yeah. Then slams fucking Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Slams him.
Titanor can only think in two dimensions. So, so Rocket Robin Hood, man, he's using the entire space.
We are fighting in space. No chance he's behind me.
Nope. quite impossible.
His rockets start going haywire. He slams into a goddamn moon. There's no other way to say it. He is a giant now. I'm convinced they have Pym particles, and they are now kaiju planetary-sized entities themselves, because he slams into a goddamn moon, and then he gets hit in the face with a comet trail, which blinds him temporarily. And Robin Hood says, I will take you back to a passing space lane so one of the Prince John cargo ships can pick you up and take you home. I will not kill you. At which point, Titanor tries the old, like, extra gun in his boot trick. Yeah. He tries some treachery, and it does not work.
I did like, in that moment, that they drew his, like, toe peeking out from beneath the gun. Like, that's, like,
that was
someone,
weird.
Like, wanted to add some, like, real detail. You see, like, Titanor's big old toe, like, under the gun. Like, oh, that's kind of, like, they clearly cared. Like some people did.
They?
You know what? Maybe Bakshi was the like toe guy at first, and then he got upgraded to like,
you know
EP
what? That would track
the show.
Yeah. All right.
Also, the reason why the skis went haywire, it's not because something malfunctioned. It's because the control dials, I guess, on, off, fast, slow, are on the back of the boot.
The back of the heel, the place you would want those controls to be,
yeah,
the place where they'd be unreachable mm-hmm. to the person wearing them.
Yeah.
They're right next to the thrusters.
Yeah,
the
very why didn't they melt? Why didn't they melt Rocket Robin Hood's hands?
You know what? I definitely thought about this, and I believe what he was doing was turning them off. So he, and then because he grabs on and then is like, pushing him forward
with his own space skis.
Yes, he okay. cut the brakes metaphorically,
right?
On the Plymouth, and then just drove it onto a cliff.
Now this is the scene that got me some appreciation. I'm already appreciating Prince John on a villain level. I like this guy. I like his vibe.
How can you appreciate anything?
What do you mean?
And Titanor loses the fight.
Yeah.
And Rocket Robin Hood goes in like the space. He's like, I know there's space cameras around me watching, so I'm going to like look directly into one or something. And he says, now you will obviously keep your word that you will lower the taxes. And the sheer audacity that Prince John, how dare he try to make me keep my word? How dare he? I appreciated this man. I'll be honest. This is what's saving the episode for me. Is the amazing villain treatment of Prince John. Also, he then says, ambush Rocket Robin Hood, and people come out of doors on the goddamn moon to assault him. What the? What is happening here?
Really elaborate. You know, David Xanatos gets so much credit for being so complicated, but Prince John is doing this much complexity back in the 60s.
So I'm to believe that the agents of Prince John got to this asteroid moon field first, added
hours,
doors to the asteroids
before.
And hid inside.
Apparently. Or they always have doors. And maybe there's a kind of a hollow earth thing going on in the background of all this.
So you're telling me that asteroids might have back doors.
Well, when they
yeah, I said it.
When they fail to save Rocket from
yes.
this whole thing, their second plan.
Abandon the chase. Proceed by plan B to the woods behind the Fortress of Nut.
The yeah. woods, the space woods behind the fortress.
I mean, that's fortuitous right there. Thank also, God there were space woods.
Why wasn't that plan A? Sneak in the huge forest? That should be plan A.
Well, plan A, you know, I get the, here's the deal. Frankie, please. I'm a strategist. And okay, I will say right now, plan A being intercept the scrubs and beat them up and take back, that's a good plan A. That's a good point. Now, I don't know why they ducked out from B and C must have been absolute horseshit. B involved like, okay, we're going to get a space laser and we're going to carve Rocket Robin Hood's face on the moon. And then they're going to give us all their money or something. Look, it's a Cobra Commander plot. That's all I'm trying to say. It makes sense to me.
Cobra Commander did this with class.
Also, like, Rocket Robin Hood is a supposedly great fighter, just took out Titanor, and he gets beat up by, like, three thugs in space. Like, what a jobber. What is happening? Rocket Robin Hood, that should not have been a challenge for you. I'm a little sus, to be honest with you. Anyway, here's the big cliffhanger at the end of episode two. Are we ready?
Yes.
I'm ready. Crystallizer globes, because yeah. We have to overcomplicate everything. Can't just shoot him.
No.
We're gonna hang him on a clothesline between two disco balls of electricity, and it will transmute his molecules, turning him into a statue where we will put him in the town square, and people will see Robin Hood as a statue and know that all hope is lost forever.
Sort of like in Black Sabbath's Iron Man.
He was turned to steel in the Great Magnetic Field. Yeah. Yeah. Checks out.
I've seen the movie, guys. That's not how it works.
Tetsuo the Iron Man, very different concept.
Is Robin about to become a space age chandelier?
No, he's not.
Space age what? What?
Chandelier?
No, play it again because you could. I feel like the announcer was given this copy, did not proofread it. And in that moment, as a beat, where he cannot believe what the F he is saying. Play it one more time.
Hope at all for Rocket Robin? Is Robin about to become a space age chandelier?
He's a space age. The fuck?
Yeah.
Chandelier?
What? Who wrote this? Anyway, a Braxo cleaner.
He was like about to have
generations.
He was like this close to like an Orson Welles meltdown, like walking out of the booth.
Oh my God. Is there no hope at all? I miss my calling. I should have been one of these announcers.
Yeah, you should have been in Canada in the 60s.
In effing media. And that's going to end part two. Let's go on to part three, where we open. Oh, I got plenty of notes still. We're opening with Friar Tuck.
Yes.
Friar Tuck as a character choice. They did the thing that you don't do, but back then you did. He is an overweight character. So the entirety of his character revolves around the fact that he is fat and likes food. His character arc is he eats and is fat. Tune in for more adventures with Friar Tuck.
Well, and he spends shockingly little time explaining the ins and outs of Christianity.
You know, I gotta believe by the 30th century, Frankie. We may as a species have moved on.
Is he the like final friar left in the whole galaxy?
He's the last one. No, he's a friar as in he used to work at KFC, which is something in the year 30,000.
He got fired for eating the whole restaurant.
Yes, he unfortunately it burned down. Because he ate all the food and they needed the insurance money. Sad one of my affairs.
Back in the day when I was but a youth and I was developing my sense of humor, I had joke books.
We all did.
Yeah.
My favorite joke from one of those is about a group of cannibals who got a priest who would come, a missionary would come. To convert them. Obviously, the cannibals killed him and ate him, and he got real sick afterwards. So he goes to the witch doctor.
Oh, boy.
You know, cannibals got witch doctors, and they said, man, I'm so sick. Said, well, tell me what you ate. And he's like, well, I took that priest and threw him in a cauldron, boiled him up, and ate him. He's like, well, there's your problem. You boiled him, and he's a friar. For a while I had to figure out, I was like, wait a minute, so if I get a fryer chicken and I boil it, is that gonna, am I gonna get sick, or is that just the construct of the joke? I'm pretty sure it's just, you know, like it's just wordplay, but like I don't know from poultry. I'm like 6 years old.
So every piece of this tracks.
Very, very confused child, but I eventually figured my way around it.
I was gifted when I was in like middle school or early high school. I was gifted a big book of American comedy. It was a very legitimate book with all very legitimate, like real comedians. It was dirty in some parts, but it was given to me by like a Christmas present by like my great uncle or something. It was like an older family member I didn't know very well. And he gifts me this, and it was goddamn perfect. And in all the margins, there were just these jokes, and there were like comics, and then there was like stand-up routines.
Oh, fascinating.
And there was like a Richard Pryor routine and a George Carlin and a Robin Williams.
Whoa.
And it was a very legitimate comedy book, unlike what Chan read.
How dare you?
Because we got time, we got nowhere to be. One of the few things I remember from that book is the joke about it. It's raining very, very hard and it's flooding. And there's a guy who lives in like a 10-story like apartment building. He lives on the 10th floor and it starts flooding, and the flooding starts getting up above, you know, say the first, second story level. So, you know, he gets into the apartment building and he starts climbing it. Obviously he goes all the way to the top as the flood waters start rising, and he gets to his 10th floor apartment and he's standing there on the balcony and the water's about to get up to his level. It's right at the top of the 9th floor. And a boat comes by, right? And this boat comes by, a rowboat, a rescue boat comes by. And the guy says, hey, go ahead and get in the boat. We're going to get you out of here. You know, this is a dangerous flood. And the guy says, actually, my good man, I'm a Christian and the Lord will protect me. I don't need it. Thank you so much. And the guy's like, all right, dude, I'm getting out of here. And he takes the boat and he takes on off, right? And so the floodwaters, they keep rising a little bit more. And so he has to run up onto the roof of the building. And then the floodwaters finally get up to meeting the roof. And then another boat comes by. And this guy comes by in like an inflatable raft. And, you know, he's looking like a hippie. He's looking a little bit dirty. And he says to the guy, hey, I see you up on the roof of this building. Come on, get in my boat. And we'll get on out of here. And the guy says, sir, I am a good Christian man. God is going to save me. Get out of here. I don't need your devilish temptation. And the guy's like, fine. And he takes on off and goes to the top. So the waters keep on rising. The guy is now on the antenna hanging from it at the top of this gigantic building. And the floodwaters have gotten all the way up to his legs are now in the water as he's hanging to the top of the antenna. And this like ramshack raft kind of pulls up to him, sees him at the distance, whirls on over. And there's another guy in there. And he says, look, I got room for one more. Can you get in my boat, man? What are we doing here? And the guy says, this is the ultimate test of my faith. I am a real Christian, unlike you fools. God is going to save me. And the guy says, okay, have it your way. And the guy takes off. Okay. At this point, the water level gets above the size of the building and the man drowns and he dies in the flood. And he ascends to the pearly gates and he gets in front of God and he says, my son, you are here. My true Christian man, you are now in heaven. You may ask me one question. And the guy says, hey, God, I really got an issue with what's happened because I am a true Christian. I believed the whole time you were going to save me, that my life was going to be spared because of my belief and faith in you. And at the end of the day, I died. What's up with that? And God pauses for a second, looks right at him and goes, dude, I sent you 3 fucking boats.
Okay, so I think what you were given was actually a children's Sunday school reader.
Well, I think that was a chick tract. I think you may have misunderstood.
Because that's
one of my favorite long jokes of all time.
But it's not really a joke.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's told by Christians today as an example of how you should pray but also act.
I believe that's making fun of religious people. And I felt that way back in the day, too.
Maybe.
And nothing has changed my mind.
I'm glad that you got that out of it. But, like, it's also very funny just to hear you do the whole thing as it was a joke, because I've only ever heard people, like, say it in earnest. And I'm like, oh, this is... He's like,
see,
doing a joke
spin. I think you've been talking to people who got the wrong impression, because, of course, they did.
I mean, Christians on the internet? Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
You know, it says, right, look, I'll get off this in a second, but it says right in the Bible that it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And everybody on the internet who's religious in the year 2025 is like, well, that's obviously not true.
It's a metaphor about camels, yeah.
It's obviously about camels, you weirdo. But
you haven't seen my Vitamix. I can turn that camel into goo.
You can't be much more clear what the messaging is. And yet, here we are.
I had a lot of joke books as a kid, but also, because it was earlier in the evening, we watched In Living Color as a family.
Oh, okay.
And I was
as a
four,
family. Wow.
I was like five, you know? So like I thought Homie was just the clown's name. Like it all flew over my head.
Oh boy.
But I thought that was some of the funny stuff. And then later I was like, oh, it's about society.
Now, I was a huge, when I was younger, we watched In Living Color every week. It was on Sunday nights. And so we'd be Monday morning on the school bus redoing the routines for memory, right? We were all doing. And I went back and watched them in Living Color like a couple of years ago. And I was like, oh no.
Some of them are a little rough.
I would say it's more than some of them.
Like Handyman.
It's a very problematic show.
Handyman, Men on Film. Those don't all really hold up.
Men on Film, exactly. Handyman, Homie D Clown, Venus de Milo.
Well, now, okay, wait. Now, Homie the Revere Clown.
De Milo.
Homie the Clown has an episode about him like selling out that is like, I'm going to get you sucker type, like really, really good satire. No. I will stick up for the quality of
the quality of the comedy is there. The performances are there. We have early on Jim Carrey, for God's sakes. Like, this is a well-made show, but like your main characters are like a handicapped superhero.
Yeah,
and he does the voice.
Yeah.
We got Damon Wayans also playing the homeless guy.
Oh,
his entire joke is that he's poor and stupid. Guy.
There is the Hotep guy in jail is very funny.
Yeah.
Isn't the homeless guy just the Dave Chappelle character?
It basically became that, didn't it?
Yeah.
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 Chappelle really lifted that, I think.
Yeah. Men on Film.
Men on Film
slightly,
is rough.
Some might argue that's homophobic.
Yeah.
Some may argue that.
It has been said.
One might make a case.
Yeah.
Two snaps around the world.
The 90s were really something else.
You know, people weren't getting offended by everything, and Matthew Shepard was being beaten to death.
Yeah. Maybe people should have been a little offended.
Probably. Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe that was helpful.
Hey, wait a minute. I think those two things might be related.
I can't help but notice that we're just sort of avoiding going back to the third act of.
I don't want to talk about Friar Tuck.
We could just blast through the shit, man.
Listen, okay, here we go. So he's about to zap him and turn him into a statue because why wouldn't he?
Right.
And then Prince John, for no good reason, says, hold on a sec, I'm not going to throw the switch just yet. I'm going to give Robin Hood one last request. Now, to be fair, this is a guy who's cheated, stolen, lied, is treacherous. But in this moment, he shows charity because it's a 1960s space adventure for kids and no other reason.
Right.
And he says, I want you to release the mayor. And I'm like, oh, he's going to make the mayor pull the switch. That's kind of rad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We thought that, right?
We were hoping.
That's what I was hoping.
That's not what happened. He says, I want you to release the mayor. Now, I want you to go back and tell the people I've had a change in heart. You've said your taxes are too low. So what I'm going to do is double the tax rate, mother effers.
Oh, boy.
Just like in Lagan.
And now there's another great line read at 1833 or thereabouts I have written down here that I loved. I loved it a lot, and I would like to hear it on the show.
Well, first off, we got to hear this one.
They were complaining about it'll be doubled.
It'll be doubled.
It'll be doubled.
You can also tell them that the intergalactic outlaw Rocket Robin Hood is dead.
I can't believe that.
Show him.
Oh, no.
That's the part I wanted to hear.
Oh.
I actually think Prince John's voice actor is doing a tremendous job here. For the stylization and what he's going for, I think he's crushing it on this role. It's weird, but he's doing great. But then that mayor turning, seeing Robin Hood about to die, and his only reaction is, "Oh no,
oh no!" Oh, no.
That, I mean, that's half of Vader right there. he then kicks the mayor into the moat and says, "Spread the word, nerd." At which point he runs to the Robin Hood gang, tells him what's going on, and Robin says, "I have my final request." And Prince John, like a dope, is like, "Yeah, man, let's do it. I want to see the treasure vault where you hoard the gold."
Yeah, bizarre. Just a bizarre thing to ask.
It's a weird thing. It doesn't make a lick of sense. And I wrote here, is he actually going to do this? Why?
But they do make it make sense later, but at the time we're like, what's going on?
Do they though? It's in the torture chamber.
Yeah.
Who would suspect the vault of secret vault to be in the torture chamber? That's not bad. That's not bad. I wouldn't. Behind a false wall in the torture chamber, you keep your secret vault. Now, the thing about it is, if you're torturing people on the reg, people have to come in and out of that vault to deliver the merchandise.
It's a
I've
security
played Evil
risk.
Genius. It's not that good a plan. Yeah. And then it gets weird.
Well, yeah.
Because he says Robin Hood is revealed. I'm going to throw you into the vault, Robin Hood, and make you my treasure watchdog. At which point...
Oh, I forgot.
At which point... I, Chan, can you just play the clip? Because I can't even do it justice.
"Since Rocket Robin is so worried about the peasants' money, let us make him a watchdog. Chain him in the vault.
Why? What is happening? Why?
They didn't even use the neuro rod on him. He just does it.
He just starts barking like a dog. And I just wrote, well, this is something. He says, if I'm going to be your watchdog, I suppose I should bark like a dog. I'm full of mirth.
And the most horrible part is, at the end of this, after the big reversals come, Robin Hood explains why he did some of this stuff, some of the stuff that doesn't make any sense, and I still felt no satisfaction.
No,
it's
not satisfying. It is an explanation, though.
It's an explanation. That's more than I thought we were going to get. Look, it turns out that the hooded guards of the vault all were replaced by the Merry Men, okay? At which point,
those were the execution technicians, by the way.
Yes. Execution technicians. So much like at a Trump rally, the masks came off. The hoods came off.
I just love that. We've got executioners in the future. Well, we just call them space executioners. Well, no, we can't do that. We've done that before. What's something that's you'd have in the future? Technician. Execution. He's a technician of execution, and so go with that.
And by the way, for the record, that's Brett the Hitman Hart, for F's sake.
He is the excellence of execution. He is not the technician of execution.
I think it's close enough that he gets the patent.
The technician who has the excellent execution.
Love me some Bret Hart. It's funny I mentioned Bret Hart, because at this point, the animation gets repeated a little bit. Each character has one offensive move, and they do it roughly 9,000 times a piece. I actually wrote here, it is literally the Bret the Hitman Hart five moves of doom.
Well, of course, Bret classically used his big, big belly to bounce guys.
Yeah, Friar Tuck, and not only did he bounce guys to the left, they flipped over the animation cell, and sometimes he bounced guys to his right.
Yeah.
Also, we need to, what do you call it? I call it peas and carrots, but crowd noise.
The walla walla. The
soldiers come in.
Yeah.
God help!
We just took the lobby of a cinema and threw that sound in there.
Look, I put together audio dramas sometimes, you guys. Sometimes I actually do this.
What, really?
I know, it's crazy. Haven't done any this year. It's only been 2 weeks. But the point I'm trying to make is, I agonize over the dumbest sound cues, over sound effects, over crowd noise, over ambient sounds in the background you don't even really hear. I spend way too much time agonizing about it. And then I hear somebody in a professional environment drop what Chan said. That is a lobby at a Walgreens.
I have
and
that.
They do not care.
I have that same issue where I'll like obsess over like, there's a pop in the audio at the 18 minute mark that's going to annoy people. But no, it only annoys me. Like people will sit through a lobby. No, they don't care as much as we do.
And what makes me even more mad, I didn't notice that until you played it just now. Which maybe shows you where my brain was at by the time I hit this point in the cartoon.
Well, now it seems like you're going to have to go back through all of your Vampire Detroits and make sure that you haven't put in really shitty sound effects.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to say right now, I don't think I did.
double check for any mass cinema lobby noise.
Now, do I want to try to steal this Walla Walla and put it in a future episode? Yes, I do.
I mean, it's probably in the CBC like sound library as theater noise.
Oh yeah,
it'll become like the next generation's Wilhelm scream.
Well, you know what? When I was a kid, we used to go to the library, and you didn't just get books. Sometimes you could rent puppets. Mm. You could borrow puppets, but you could also borrow records from the library when I was a kid. And that included sound effects libraries.
Yeah.
So was I some weird kid who rented the Halloween sound effects library from music from my local library? Not music, sound effects. And I put them on the record player in the basement and listened to 38 seconds of evil man cackling, followed by whip sounds. And I listened to the whole album like it was a goddamn Michael Jackson's Thriller. Yes, I did. Why am I having this memory right now? I think I've stirred it from my earlier comments. I think I know where my psychosis comes from, Chan.
You finally figured it out, huh?
Oh, it's better than therapy. Anyway, the plan is the good guys beat up the bad guys, sure.
Yeah.
They take all the guards and Prince John and lock them in the vault, lock it in, but there's a time release so they won't die. But like, you should probably just kill them.
Probably should. I mean,
yeah, like, shouldn't you put an end to his villainy?
You know, even the guards, leave the guards where they are. Throw Prince John in and kill him.
Even just don't kill him. Kidnap him?
No, I mean, just go ahead and kill him.
And take over the castle or something. But
you know, you could, the castle, that would make a lot of money.
And you're already execution technicians.
Yeah.
Space guillotine.
I was a little bit like,
wait,
I think you...
a gamma guillotine.
A gamma.
Oh, yeah. Gamma team.
100%. You're already going this far. You may as well kill him. Maybe I'm the Punisher over here, but I really feel like this guy could probably, the world could do without him.
It just does seem crazy to rescue Robin and then just leave. Like, well, wait a minute.
Well, that's the other thing.
You're
the
vault, in his castle. Do something more.
The vault door is open, revealing his smog treasure pile.
Yeah.
And they close it and take a handful of bags that fell
little.
On the floor from the intro. Like, you could have had a lot more money.
You could feed everyone.
You chose not to, Robin Hood. Because you know why? Because he's not in it to help people. He's in it for the lulz.
I guess that's true. He's just in it for the mirth.
And this is the highlight moment, which is the Merry Men and Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck says, "We were dressed as the executioners."
Yeah.
How did you execution technicians? Excuse me. How did you know it was us? And Robin Hood looks at him square in the face.
Oh yeah. No. I've been waiting for this the entire time. Now look. I am not a slim man, and I could be doing things to work on my girth or whatnot. And I'm not going to say, hey, y'all, don't fat shame. You do what you got to do. But I feel like there are limits in polite, even in impolite society,
sure.
Even in 1960 fucking six.
Yeah.
In Canada, no less. But here's the hero. Here's the protagonist, the one, the role model for children who are watching this thing. This is how he treats this dude.
I knew it was you the instant I saw you. despite my mask, there isn't another fat belly like yours in the whole National Outer Space Terrestrial Territories.
He's fat with like a hard F, which isn't possible. He says, "You fat!" Like, oh my gosh.
He hit him with a hard F. Oh my God.
This is such venom.
The next time I'm pissed at you, Ray, I'm just going to be like, there isn't another fat belly like yours in the whole National Outer Space Terrestrial Territory.
You might be right. Look, I've let myself go. I weighed myself recently and immediately like got real sober. Like, oh, you're making bad choices this holiday season.
You were 22 Mai Tais on the cruise.
22 Mai Tais on a cruise. Probably not a good idea. It wasn't 22. It was considerably more. Listen, at this point, the show is over. And so they sing us out. Can we please hear the singing us out roughly around 23:20 mark?
I would rather not.
I want to hear it, Chan.
I'm going to hear it again.
We're Robin's men. We rule the sky. So raise your voices. Raise them high. For Rocket Robin Hood.
Be honest, I am ready to watch another from hearing that. I am ready to keep going on this journey.
Enjoy.
That inspires me.
Just go nuts.
Maybe you should watch the one where they go to the antimatter universe.
I probably will watch another episode of this at some point. I'm not going to lie. I want to see the really bad ones, though. I want to see what IMDb users consider the bad ones. Because these average in the fives, the sixes. Occasionally, some of them hit the low sevens. You got to respect it. And then there's just a handful of episodes that are in the twos. And I'm like, people who watched this enough to have an opinion on which ones were the good ones. Yeah. Like, these are the ones that those people singled out as, oh, but these are the bad ones. Like, that's exciting to me. Curated by people who care. Now, it's only like 16 people, but I want to meet those people. Those people gave a shit. And I wish I had their passion for anything. But there's still 2 minutes to go in this video.
Yeah.
We're not done. There's another one. Explaining who Little John is, and then there's more songs afterwards.
Yeah, it's there's so much.
You'd think it would end at this point. You would be wrong. He's Rocket Robin Hood. Ah!
Anyway, like, what? Why? And it's to me, it felt like an episode plus stuff you'd have in like an upfronts.
Yeah.
As if you're trying to like pitch it to the network, but it's on the air.
It may be that thing of, you know, like, we don't know when the kids are joining in. Here's a rundown on all the characters, so you'll know what they're doing. Although they don't even, like, when you watch a TV show now and it's like previously on, if there's a character that comes up in this episode, they're going to be like, hey, remember when you saw this person?
Right.
Whereas with these things that they just throw in the middle of, it's just like, here's a character from the show. Here's another character from the show. They might not even show up in this episode. Who the fuck knows? But, you know, now you know they exist.
Yeah. It is weird to do it after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever now the intent, that you've seen it's like, this, the show's over. I mean, what are we doing?
Want to buy it? You're already here. It's already been bought. What are we doing? It's like the insecure girlfriend of of 60s cartoon shows. I know the episode's over and we've done everything there is to do, but can we sell you on this a little bit more? Are you sure you want to be with me?
Well, yeah, that was that, and I was so taken aback by it that I went to the Wikipedia, and that's when I saw Bakshi, and that's when I watched more. But if I hadn't done that, I would have been like, oh, this was bad. This was extremely bad.
Oh, Ralph, what's going on? I mean, he did his best. Look, get really good. I believe you.
He wasn't working on this first one. Like, he isn't in the credits.
Yeah, okay.
like, I think he came on later or was like upgraded from like guy doing tweens, you know, or whatever.
All right. We got this TV show. We got this show about Robin Hood in space, and he's got rockets, and it's just space this and gamma that shit, and we're not doing well in the ratings. What can we do? You know what? Get Bakshi on the phone. Get the Fritz the Cat asshole. This guy's going to turn it around. And he did, apparently.
Now I see him as Lebowski just like walking in like, might have been doing Jay.
Oh, my God. The big Lebaxi.
Robbins.
There we go.
Dude.
There we go.
Yeah, I got there. I got it, everybody. Frankie G, tell the people at home, give them the plugs one more time so that Chan can pull the plug on this finally and put his kid to bed again.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. If you do watch any of them, I do recommend season three things, either the antimatter one, the Stormmakers, or the Living Planet about a planet that's a brain. It's genuinely interesting. If you want to watch old adventure cartoons, watch them. If you have anything better to do with your time, don't watch that. You should watch Wizworld Live Fridays at 8 p.m. Pacific. If you go to watch.wizworldlive.com, it'll take you right there. I'm on every platform, even the perhaps dying TikTok. I've got a newsletter, but it's Wizworld Live everywhere. And if you're at a Ren Faire in California, we may be there. So keep an eye out for us there. We go to the Shasta Ren Faire a lot, the Idlewild Fairs, and other ones up and down the state.
That's great. It's
a Wizard Talk show.
And as you listen to this right now, obviously Los Angeles is on fire.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to be different come Friday when this episode drops.
Yeah, not until it rains, I don't think.
It's gonna be a while, I think, and we're trying our best. And don't believe the nonsense. Oh, my God. Oh. I'm so mad about the disinformation. Like, it really is bothering. That poop bothers me normally, but, like, it's in my own backyard, and seeing people gleefully lie about it, it really makes me a little bit mad. But at the Who Would Win show, you know, my other show, and Chance to keep it real, he'll deny it. But we did a charity show, that and that episode just came out of the Who Would Win feed on Wednesday. The long and short of this is, if you'd like to donate to the LA Food Bank to benefit the people hit hardest by the fires here in Los Angeles, it would be a great thing to do. And we have a GoFundMe set up through that to kind of like show your interest. Go to bit.ly/WWWFires, all lowercase. And you can make a donation. Any amount is appreciated. And if you'd like to vote for me on the show, and there's probably no other option there, just vote for Ray, that Ray gets the votes. I think that would probably be a really cool thing for you to do. So as you hear this, if you got a few extra bucks that would be cool, you want to do something cool with it, make a donation through us. It would just be a nice thing to do. So no pressure, but if you can, it would be nice. Chan, anything else you want to add to this episode?
We're off to outer space.
Here we go.
Leaving Mother Earth to save the human race. Our star blazers.
It's just so much better than Rocket Robin Hood.
I'll be honest, for a second I thought that was Rocket Robin Hood.
Blast off! Band of brothers marching together, heads held high in all kinds of weather. With fiery blast a roaring rocket rides beyond the earth, beyond the sky. At the side of Robin, take your stand with the gallant leader of the band. Send a joyous shout throughout the land.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But oh my Ash god, is like, Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like...
because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them. If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.